Independence Day weekend, 2019, did you enjoy the fireworks? Yes? How many of you were at the Freeland Park or nearby to watch the skies light up over Holmes Harbor on Wednesday night? Yes? How many of you ate food off the grill this weekend? Some of you? Most of you? Yes. Did your pets enjoy the fireworks? Did you stay out of the ferry lines this weekend? Yeah, you know, experienced island people tend to stay out of the ferry lines. Independence Day 2019, I hope you had a wonderful holiday as we wind it down today on this Sunday. The American Revolution. The 4th of July is not a church holy day, but it is a part of our history. I do wonder, though, how many of our young people could tell us with certainty who the combatants were in the American Revolution. And how about you? Do you know when the war began and when it ended? Of course you do. The war began at Lexington and Concord in April 1775. On April the 18th, the midnight ride of Paul Revere warned the residents of Concord of the advancing British redcoats. The first shots of the American Revolution were fired on April 19th in Lexington, Massachusetts. And when the battle was over, 8 revolutionary militia men were killed, and 1 redcoat. The casualties seemed about right. After all, England was a superpower, its army the best in the world. The colonies were on the other end of the spectrum. Now, if you added up the population of New York City, Boston, and Philadelphia in 1775, you come up with 79,000 people. You heard that right. There are more people living in Island County today than there were living in New York City, Boston, and Philadelphia combined. The rest of the people lived on small farms and villages scattered from Vermont to Georgia. And the roads were deplorable. Misery and poverty abounded in the colonies, and the life expectancy was less than 50 years. There were only 7 colleges in the colonies, with total graduates numbering 4,400. The colonies had no government, no flag, no anthem, no president. There was no Continental Army in 1775. To say that the odds were against them would be an understatement. And the 56 who signed that Declaration of Independence, well, that signature would cost them dearly. Many of them would lose their lives, their homes, their freedom, and their families. You see, it's dangerous to take part in a revolution against a superpower. The Renaissance genius Machiavelli said, if you smite the king, you better kill him. The war would drag on for more than 6 years. On October 19th, 1781, the British General Cornwallis would surrender his last 8,000 soldiers. And as the prisoners marched into captivity, the British military band struck up a tune called The World Turned Upside Down. Though the fighting in the colonies was over, the formal cessation of the American Revolution would have to wait until the Treaty of Paris in 1783. Finally, there was freedom and liberty and peace for the people of this new nation. The experiment that would be known as American democracy would now be free to take flight. Yes, Independence Day 2019. And now a reading from the Old Testament. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord will be with you wherever you go. The world we live in is marked by uncertainty, random disaster, earthquakes, accidents, betrayal, failing bodies and failing minds. God knows that we are by nature fearful, but God also knows that fear can keep us from living fully. Fear can paralyze us and render us helpless as we hunker down behind security gates and locked doors. The world that we lived in is marked by setbacks and betrayals and outright failure. And it can be pretty easy for us to be discouraged, to lose courage or hope, to become cynical or angry or tired. And God says, be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is sending out 70 of his followers. Now remember, he only had 12 disciples and a similar number of women who followed him from the Sea of Galilee to the cross. But in our text, Jesus clears the bench. He brings in followers who are green, untried, maybe lacking in confidence, maybe unsure that they were up to the task that Jesus was giving them. He sends out the 70, but he does not send them out into a doubting and dangerous world by themselves. No, he sends them out in pairs, like lambs in the midst of wolves. Two by two, they go. And Jesus tells them to travel light, to cure the sick, and to share the good news that the kingdom of God has come near, that there is another way of living and loving, that God is not angry and vindictive. Jesus sends them out expecting them to succeed, and he sends them out expecting them to fail, like lambs in the midst of wolves. This work would be dangerous. And to the casual observer, it must have appeared to be a waste of time, a mission fraught with failure. Jesus sends them out just as he sends us out every week from this place. And what does he expect from them and from us? He expects us to fail more than we succeed. And Jesus gives his followers permission to fail. Jesus knows from personal experience that not everyone is ready to hear good news. Listen again now as Jesus gives his followers a plan for how to deal with failure. Whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you." You see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, don't waste your time, don't waste your energy, don't worry, just get out of town. But as you leave, remind them one more time of the good news message that the kingdom of God has come near. I give you permission to fail. I'm expecting you to fail more than you succeed. Having said that, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, and do not give up. Don't ever give up. Don't worry about the naysayers. Simply wipe that dust off of you. Shake it off. Do not take it with you. Do not fill up your backpack with bitterness and schlep it to the next town. Just let it go. Let go of the memory of rejection. Forget about it. And don't be discouraged. Do not be deterred from your mission. Yes, the odds were against them, but then I got to tell you something, folks. The odds are always against movements like this. For decades in our country, abolitionists worked to end the scourge of slavery. They were ridiculed. They were persecuted by the powerful. Their message was rejected, and many of the abolitionists were killed. The odds were against them, but today slavery is no more in our great land. For years, women worked to have the same voting rights as men. For years, they were dismissed. They were insulted. They were ridiculed. The odds were against them, but today, more women than men are casting votes. For decades, civil rights workers marched and protested and sought legislation that would bring the words of the Declaration of Independence to life, to reality, that the self-evident truth that all were created equal. And I have to tell you, it was no one march, it was not one protest that led to the laws that now protect all. No, it was cumulative. Long years of work and struggle led to change. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be persistent. When knocked down, get up. When rejected, just shake that dust from your feet and move on. For decades, our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters have longed to live in a society where they would be treated with respect, where they could live life in freedom and safety and in integrity. And for decades, society forced them to live in closets, wearing masks, hoping not to be found out. These are brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters who live in a nation founded by that self-evident truth that we are all created equal. Now, this revolution is still evolving, but it has been my great honor to officiate at the weddings of those who for years had been rejected by the church and rejected by society. In the midst of the struggle, it would have been easy in all of these cases to just give up, to throw in the towel, to be discouraged, to feel helpless and hopeless. The odds today may seem to be against us, but we know that the world does change, and we know that people are changed by love. Jesus has promised that the kingdom of God is coming near to us, but as the followers of Jesus, we are partners in ushering in that kingdom, in working for peace and justice, in seeking a sustainable life for all of God's children. The persistence of the abolitionist, the persistence of the women's suffrage movement, the persistence of the civil rights workers, the persistence of the gay and lesbian activists have helped us as a nation to draw closer to the ideals of our farmers, our founders as well. Gotta love the farmers, though. Don't be afraid. That's what God tells us. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Be persistent. When you are knocked down, get up. When you are rejected, shake the dust from your feet and move on. Now think about it for a moment. If the patriots of the American Revolution had given up in the face of adversity, if they had let fear rule the day, if they had lost hope and been discouraged in the face of overwhelming odds, if they had given up, we would all be speaking English today. July the 4th, 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. In the 243 years that have followed, the United States of America has enjoyed just 23 years of peace. Sobering, is it not? The last surviving prosecutor of the Nuremberg trials is a 99-year-old Romanian-born immigrant to the United States by the name of Benjamin Ferenc. He would grow up in New York City, standing barely 5 foot tall. He would get a scholarship from Harvard Law School, but in the first semester there, the Japanese would bomb Pearl Harbor. Ferenc would leave school and attempted to enlist in the Air Force. He would volunteer to fight for his country, but he was told that he was too small. So he returned to school. He finished that law degree, and then he tried again, this time with the Army. He enlisted. They took him. On the 6th day of June, 1944, Benjamin would wade onto the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. He would fight his way to Germany. He would join his colleagues in the liberation of the concentration camps. He would see unimaginable horrors. And when the war was over, he was assigned to the War Crimes Unit seeking evidence for the Nuremberg trials. And what he uncovered in a burnt-out Nazi office building were files that proved the guilt of 22 German SS officers. He took this information to his superiors. He was told by his superiors that they were too busy. They had no time, they had no support resources to prosecute. There is no way we can do this unless you, Benjamin, want to do it by yourself. And there was no quit in this man. 5 feet tall, he had never been in court in his entire life, and now he stood on the world stage facing war criminals in Nuremberg. These 22 men had killed more than 1 million men, women, and children. The SS officers had been told to kill without pity or remorse, and they did so. And when the trial was over, every defendant would be found guilty, and many would be executed. Last Sunday night on 60 Minutes, Benjamin was asked about these men, these monsters, Let's see the response.
Ferenc says his goal from the beginning was to affirm the rule of law and deter similar crimes from ever being committed again.
Did you meet a lot of people who perpetrated war crimes who would otherwise, in your opinion, have been just a normal, upstanding citizen?
Of course, is my answer. These men would never have been murderers had it not been for the war. These were people who could quote Goethe, who loved Wagner, who were polite.
What turns a man into a savage beast like that?
He's not a savage. He's an intelligent, patriotic human
being. He's a savage
being.
When he does the murder, though.
No, he's a patriotic human being acting in the interest of his country in his mind.
You don't think they turn into savages even for the act?
Do you think the man who dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima was a savage? Now I will tell you something very profound, which I have learned after many years. War makes murderers out of otherwise decent people. All wars and all decent people.
So Ferenc has spent the rest of his life trying to deter war and war crimes by establishing an international court like Nuremberg. He scored a victory when the International Criminal Court in The Hague was created in 1998.
May it please your honors.
He delivered the closing argument in the court's first case.
Now, you've been at this for 50 years, if not more. We've had genocide since then in
Cambodia.
Going
on right this minute.
Going on right this minute in Sudan. We've had Rwanda. We've had Bosnia. You're not getting very far.
Well, don't say that. People get discouraged. They should remember from me, it takes courage not to be discouraged.
Did anybody ever say that you're naive?
Of course. Some
Are
people
you
say
naive
I'm crazy.
Here?
Well, if it's naive to want peace instead of war, let them make sure they say I'm naive, because I want peace instead of war. If they tell me they want war instead of peace, I don't say they're naive. I say they're stupid. Stupid to an incredible degree to send young people out to kill other young people they don't even know, who never did anybody any harm, never harmed them. That is the current system. I am naive? That's insane.
It takes courage not to be discouraged. Can you say that back to me? It takes courage not to be discouraged. So what is it that you're facing right now? What battles have you been fighting? Is it your addiction or the addiction of someone you love? Is it a broken relationship with your siblings or your children? It takes courage not to be discouraged. And it takes courage not to give up. What are you facing? Are you fighting to tell the truth of global warming and hoping against hope that we can help our environment to heal? Are you concerned about human rights across the globe and at our southern border? Are you concerned about the racism that is still infecting the blood of the American people? The white privilege that we enjoy 150 years after the Civil War? Are you concerned about the prospects of yet another war in the Middle East? If you feel like your efforts are failing, get up and shake the dust from your feet. Move on and renew your efforts. Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord is with you. Jesus sent them out, the 70, he sent them out in pairs to lift each other up, to encourage each other in the midst of rejection and failure. July the 4th, 1776, we have had 23 years of peace in the 243 years that have followed. It seems to me that we need more people like Benjamin Ferenc, people who will work for peace and justice, believing that their efforts do and will make a difference. Do not be discouraged, my friends, and do not lose hope. Together we can fail, yes, but together we can persist and resist, and together we can and we will change the world. There were 70 sent out by Jesus with good news. By Good Friday, there were only 12 disciples and a handful of faithful women who remained. 11 of those disciples held on through a night of terror and betrayal and shame. 11 would hold on, and not only would they laugh and sing and dance again, more than that, those 11 would change the world. Our story can be the same. For even as the darkness settles in around us, even as our country and our world seems to spin out of control, we can believe. We can believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. We can persist and encourage each other. And with God by our side as promised, we shall overcome. God help us. Amen. I invite you to stand.